I'm not advocating that everybody refuse to subscribe. I don't think that would happen. At any rate, I think it's a personal stand that I'm taking.
Okay. Well, I respect your personal stand.
But I do have questions about other questions about how the money is spent. I mean, there was when the move was made at WBAI that it was at first we heard it was going to be cheaper than the old place. Then we heard how much the move is expected to cost. Then all of a sudden, it was so much more expensive, and the rent is so much more expensive. And I really have questions about the way that was done and how. And I understand that that the union was not allowed to participate in that decision about
the
move.
Well, I have to be honest. I don't know anything about that. I can tell you that I worked at the old station for about 12 years, and there were times when it was so discombobulated and so difficult to work that, you know, it was extremely depressing and hard to get a decent sound on the air. So, you know, I'm going to be conflicted. I'm sure.
Just because I followed that decision a little bit, you know, having worked here, and in a way we get to buy these digs. They are more expensive, but we're going to actually own them, which is better. I personally don't like the number 120 Wall Street, but a lot of progressive groups are moving here, and I wasn't 100% into the idea of taking advantage of these tax deductions that the city uses, because it's really just a part of the gentrification procedure of the lower Manhattan area. But, you know, you can't, you know, the old saying, boycott capitalism and starve to death. We're surrounded by capitalism. We have to take advantage of it, so I had to sort of swallow that. I feel that there have been problems as far as fully discussing and notifying people of decisions, and I don't think that's at BAI that's done from a bad-hearted point of view, is so much as it's done because of the staff is so stretched out. And you know, I could complain that a lot of, and this gets into the whole Pacifica thing, that a lot of these monies that we get from selling these other frequencies that we control, that we're allowed to sell, that are part of the frequency, the SBA frequencies.
Yeah,
you know, I like to see that money used in different ways.
Let me say something here. I'm not going to get into the kind of minutia. That is not, that's not where the struggle is for me right now. I don't have a building code. This is quite different. This is not because I'm in a relatively new building.
Is this
building.
A takeover? I mean, is this like let me put it this way.
I think that it is such an unbelievable disrespect to me and to the staff who has busted our backs and has worked so hard to give the code over to the station to somebody who doesn't even listen to the station is way beyond this debate. That has its place,
right.
And I'm not going to get into that.
Could I ask you this question then, Dennis Bernstein? What actually is going on here? Is this a I've heard it used as careerist, a move by careerists who want to basically...
I'm not speculating. I'm telling you, Paul, I'm not going to... I'm not going to speculate.
Because some people were saying that, for example,
I'm looking at a guard outside my
That shooting, when that bullet went through the window, was that a COINTELPRO? A lot of people have called the station, called the show up. They on the internet, I've read it. This is some sort of COINTELPRO act in order to justify.
Right. Well, I don't have
crackdown.
Any. I don't have.
A lot of people have asked me that.
Yeah, I don't have any information on that.
Okay, and you're on the radio.
Hello?
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
All right.
Go ahead.
Cloud because
tremendous.
There you go. Good.
Tremendous, tremendous show. I mean, it is extraordinary 2 hours of radio.
I'm glad you like it.
I mean, it's remarkable. I hope Robert and you are both running air checks.
Well, I don't know if they are. I know Robert ran an air check.
We're running an air check.
And we continued.
And then what I wanted to speak to was the sense of dismay I had when Dennis brought up the notion about the building codes was, I can't even describe to you. The sense of dismay, because what I remember reading was the Z Magazine article back in 1991 and saying, oh my God, it took 8 years, but they've done it.
Well, one could easily surmise that this is a big step towards a lockout.
Uh-huh. You know, you can compare it to this. At BAI, I was just reading on our union wall, we're complaining that the codes don't work and that the doors are constantly open.
But back on track, the notion that I read that report back then and have watched this process take place is simply amazing. What I did want to ask, Dennis, since you're on the line, is, one, who hired Lynn Chadwick? Two, how can she be removed from her position? Three, I wanted to offer up the notion that potential legal action may exist for people who have been let go by the station and who have been locked out on the grounds of tortious interference, in that you have a contract, and that's a legal venue that you folks may want to look into. But anyway, I'm curious about those first two issues. Who hired her, and how can we get her out?
Well, she was hired by the Pacifica National Board, by Mary Frances Berry. She was culled. I believe she was, championed, I believe, by Pat Scott, the last executive director. I don't know that for a fact. What was the last thing you said?
How can we get her out?
Well, you know, again, I think it's really up to the listeners, the producers, the activists who depend on the station to unify, organize. There are meetings taking place in Washington, D.C. this weekend. There are email addresses. I don't have all these details. I'm not, not what I'm doing here tonight. But, I want to urge people to get involved, as I say, on all issues, in all ways, shapes, and forms. I mean, if, you know, all my brethren and sistren inside the radio networks working in the stations at the various Pacifica stations, I think they have to take a very strong stand. I think the people listening to them, who love them, respect them, learn from them, depend on them, need to take a stand. You need to find it in your heart how you can best act. You need to let the powers that be know what's going on. If this was all my very impressive investigative reporting colleagues around the network, if this was just, let's say, a takeover at WORT in Madison, Wisconsin, a corporate takeover by ABC, would we all cover it? We would have been covering it 8 years ago. If people were arrested, if they were out in the street, if they were doing civil disobedience, would it have been a story on the WBAI news, on the KPFA news? You bet it would. So I think, you know, we now have to understand that, you know, this isn't an internal fight about somebody's job alone. It's a struggle to keep a free speech network, a non-corporate, unfettered free speech network, free to do the work that we need to do. And as I said before, Paul and Joan, for 20 years, I broadcast it. And I saw many things happening, and I shut my mouth. I was silent. But now I can't, you know, maybe I waited too long, but I have to take on the old adage, better late than never, and I urge all my brothers and sisters to join. And I have to really bow out now because I'm really tired, and I have been.
All right, Dennis. Just to tell you, we have a whole board lit up of calls we're going to have to continue with, unfortunately, without your presence.
Well, you're going to have to do you.
Thank you.
You both are quite skillful.
Thank you.
All right.
And have, you know, I'm sure much more up on more of these details than I could ever be up on. So I do thank you for the time, and I'd love to come back sometime and talk about some of the other issues outside, the things that I do day in and day out, the kinds of stories that I break day in and day out on Flashpoints. And I'm hoping, before all this melted down, I was hoping to be able to be on in New York, and who knows, maybe that'll happen sometime.
I hope so.
Well,
hope to hear you.
Yeah.
Great. All right, thanks a lot.
Right, bye,
by the way, if people want to get in touch with me,
go ahead.
They can email me at dbernstein, B-E-R-N-S-T-E-I-N, at igc.org. All my old friends, neighbors from New York where I live for so long, I'd love to hear from you. Stay in touch. If you want more information about what's going on with Pacifica, why don't you try calling them, calling Mary Frances Berry, calling the people at the national office in Berkeley at 510-848-7000. 6767 extension 461.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Dennis.
Thank you.
All right. Take
care.
Bye-bye. Hey, Paul, before you sign off.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think what was most instructive was what Robert said. This is no more a matter of internal politics than a nuclear meltdown is internal to a nuclear power plant.
There you go.
Very important stuff.
Yes. Okay. Thank you very much.
That's true. I have to agree.
And it's never too late unless you don't start right now.
All right. And we're going to go to a little musical break, and then we're going to continue taking your calls at 212-209-2900 here on Let 'Em Talk. I'm Paul D'Arienzo with Miss Jo Marie Moosey, and we will be back in a minute after Fierce Ruling Diva by the Velvet Mafia.
She's a doped-up dropout from FIT, a patron of the art of cosmetology. Calls all her girlfriends Mary or Sister. She calls all her boyfriends John or Mister. And she can't read or write, but she's quite astute as a transvestite chunky prostitute. She makes the little boys cry, makes the old men drool. She's a fierce diva, and she's here to rule. Fierce ruling diva, kind you need a cosmetology school. She's a fierce ruling diva, she's fierce. Rule diva, rule. She began her career as a $2 whore, wearing platform shoes from the Kmart store. She plays the same Prince cassette all day long. Little Red Corvette is her favorite song. She knows all the Puerto Ricans in the neighborhood. She would dish her own mother if the dish was good. When she hits the town, she's the talk of the scene. Everybody pay homage to the disco queen. Fierce ruling diva, kind you need a cosmetology school. She's a fierce ruling diva. She's fierce, she's very fierce. Rule diva, rule. Diva's gonna dish you into the dirt, cause she's a fierce ruling diva. The kind you need a cosmetology school. She's a fierce ruling diva. She's fierce. Rule diva, rule. Fierce ruling diva. Out of my way, you peons. Move over, fool. I'm a fierce ruling diva. Godiva, 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 Godiva.
Yes. Yeah. Velvet Mafia, and you're listening to WBAI in New York.
And they're going to be appearing live at...
We're tuned to non-commercial, listener-sponsored community radio.
For news, entertainment, and information.
This is WBAI.
99.5 FM in New York.
Yeah, and it's about 10 to 3 in the morning, and this is Let 'Em Talk. I'm Paul D'Arienzo, Miss Jo Marie Moosey.
And don't forget that, hello?
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you very much, Miss Jo Marie Moosey, and we're going back to the phones. Here at 212-209-2900 on Let 'Em Talk in New York City on WBAI in New York. And You're on the air. Go right ahead.
Hello.
Good morning. Thank you.
Hello, Sonda.
I woke up at 2:15. I wanted to ask Dennis how Larry is. Did he say?
We didn't ask him.
We didn't ask. See, we should have.
And I wanted to ask him what junior high school he went to.
Because he's also a native New Yorker.
Yeah, yeah. And because Larry had said some other people went to our junior high school.
That's right. You share that in common.
And I just want to say that the personal is politics, et cetera. I never.
Sandra, tell us how the show's going over at the West Side Arts Coalition.
I'm homebound pretty much most of the time and haven't been able to see it. But
you heard any reports?
Yes, it's going well, and I'm happy to say that as a political statement, I had the work hung at eye level for wheelchair users.
Oh, excellent.
Which is lower than, as I call it,
the standing
bipeds.
Population.
And it's also good for little kids.
That's funny. I have a kiddie art gallery at my house.
Ah, that's great.
All down low, yeah.
That's great.
All right.
And I hope you all get to see it. And reports have been good, and it's nice being on Broadway.
Right on.
And the funny thing is, you know, that really was a public toilet.
Yeah, it's in the island on 96th Street, right?
Yeah, it's in the middle of traffic. The only city in the world that puts benches in the middle of traffic.
And that's open through the 27th.
Yes.
All right. Everybody check it out.
Yeah. There's 9 other artists, I might add, and mine has some political stuff in it, and I'll let other people talk.
All right,
thank
you, Sandra.
Thank you.
Sure. Thanks for calling.
And you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello. You know me as the unknown angry caller.
All right.
I've been hearing you around these days, too, on different shows, different stations.
I like to say one thing. If you guys go off the air, there will be no more angry caller torturing you.
We would miss you.
And also, number two, I think both the Republicans and Democrats are nothing but effing a-holes. And three, the synagogue burnings in California are all nothing but a front of the ministry of Slobodan Milosevic, the evil cult group.
That's interesting investigative analysis there. And
all right.
You're on the air.
Hello?
Hello?
You there?
National Labor Relations Board. The Pacifica Foundation chose, after the National Labor Relations Board said it's okay for unpaid workers, volunteers at WBAI, to be in the electrical union. The
United
Pacifica
Electrical
Foundation.
United Electrical Union, I'm a dues-paying member.
Yeah, well, I'm saying. What are you saying?
I'm saying I'm a dues-paying member of the United Electrical Workers.
Huh?
Of the United Electrical Workers.
Yeah, United Electrical Workers. Okay. The point I want to make is that the Pacifica Foundation put an appeal in after the National Labor Relations Board said it's perfectly all right for the workers at WBAI to join that union. That very respectable union, isn't it?
You mean the non-paid staff?
The non-paid staff, which is primarily the staff.
I mean, you have a few department heads.
That's what I was about to say before.
Right.
I was so rudely cut off because I don't hog the air. I just want to say two or three things. Just two or three things.
Well, can you put it in the form of a question once in a while?
I'm going to ask a question.
Okay.
What do we know about Lynn Chadwick? What is her
personal
history?
I read her background. It's pretty much...
Dennis Bernstein...
It's not evil. It's not horrible. It's not terrible.
He couldn't even get that.
It's nothing horrible.
Inquiring reporter.
It's not a secret, and it's not terrible. This is not a question. At a certain level, I don't see it as a big conspiracy, but I wondered about that bullet hole. I wonder about that bullet hole that occurred in the window. And I was wondering if that was... Can we have a conversation?
Yes, we are.
Okay, that this is possibly a COINTELPRO attempt to take advantage of this dispute.
Right.
That's what I smelled.
As if the people are violent, whereas actually it was a government-inspired thing.
Right, and that would freak out these people who, you know, to cause this feeling of being, surrounding the wagon sort of feeling among the administrators, which would then... increase the possibility of what happened Sunday, people getting arrested.
Right.
And therefore, it looks bad on everybody, and somehow that's going to undermine our support.
Right.
So we have to really talk about, that's what Dennis was saying, continuing our support and not
right.
allowing ourselves to be bullied.
I gave in so a $25 senior citizen contribution right into the hands of Valerie Van Isla. However, I want you to understand something. I was down at the station.
In cash or check?
It was a check, and it's worth it. Listen, I want to make a point that the National Labor Relations Board was appealed to by the Pacifica Foundation. It's been going for a year. Mary Frances Berry.
Mm-hmm.
She said down at WBAI in the old building, 505 8th Avenue, that in a month she would look into this whole situation and come up with a better attitude of understanding. At least she would. She never did. Now, the point is, she's a liar, and I'm going to say that because I was there. She said she would give her...
I wish I was there to be able to, you know, report on this. We have to just go on your word.
You got an air check, and I'm making an air check, and I'm calling her a deceitful person, and so does Coburn in his writings.
Send us a copy. Send me a copy of the air check.
Now, listen, David Salnacker, who preceded... He was the spokesman, said on WBAI when I confronted him with all the disrespectfulness is thrown at me, he says, we don't want what you're doing. We want to have a pleasant sounding air. And I said, what do you mean? There are all these troubles in the world. What is that? Is that just, entertainment?
I've been in the media business a long time, Monroe, not just BAI, a lot of places, and this is exactly the type of mentality you run into everywhere.
I
could go through the list of places I've worked where people told me I was too radical, man. I could, write a book about it.
Yes,
all right, I'm
going
to move on. I get so used to it that I'm so surprised when it doesn't happen.
Why did the people who...
Because of the 50s. Listen, the destruction that was done... I'm glad you bring up Lou Hill. The destruction that was done by the McCarthy era 50s scares that were, Red Scare, it's still to this day in the blacklist.
You're right.
Even though there isn't an official blacklist, it's got everybody scared and they self-censor like crazy.
No, but the point
to this day, 40 and 50 years later, still do it.
I want to leave you with one thought.
They fear a witch hunt.
This Pacifica Foundation. They hired the American Management Group. It's a name like that, if it's not exactly, which is a union-busting management, for big business, to work on everything that Pacifica is doing.
I'm not proud of that. That's
And it was stated that $30,000 at one point went to them. And this woman who called in and said doesn't want her money going to help. That's
understandable, but at the same time, you have to realize that when the public pressure came out, they did, step back from that contract. My understanding was they stepped back from that. But my what scared me about that consulting group was that they actually wrote a draft draft employee handbook for Pacifica workers that said that they would institute drug testing. Which I thought would have, really wiped out.
Clear
the whole city of New York. All right, we'll go on.
Thank you very much.
All right, thanks for calling.
They wanted a dress code, too, as I remember.
Oh, heavens.
Yeah.
Uniforms?
You're on the radio.
Hello?
Yes, we speak in hypocrisy. I'll give you an example.
All right.
If the world was a Grateful Dead nation, we'd be a better planet. And the Jews are evil people.
Come on.
Here we go.
Yeah.
You waited a long time to say that, too.
You got to sneak it in. You're on the radio.
Patience.
Hi.
Hi.
I guess that it seems maybe simplistic or obvious, but if their intention in trying to change the formats of the stations or the tone of the various stations so as to attract corporate sponsorship, if it's that need for money, that seems to... At least it ought to get us all a little more active in terms of making contributions to the stations.
That's a good point. I think it's a good point that we have to show that the people can deliver the sponsorship to the network that they can never really ever depend on the corporations from ever doing.
Well, this has always been the hallmark or the rallying cry. You know that we're the station is not supported by any kind of corporate funding. And
right. But then you see NPR and all these other networks. I mean, they run ads. I mean, now I'm running, seeing ads on Channel 13 ads, one after another.
By major corporations.
You know, one after another. And to see, like, Archer Daniels Midland, of all places, advertising, or Pfizer advertising. I mean, geez, these are like corrupt corporate entities. Yeah.
Well, not only that, they're like the shadow people, you know. The secret
government.
Yeah, I mean, they're so behind everything else.
Right.
And, of course, then the other thing that kind of worries me is that sometimes I get the feeling that there will never be enough money, no matter how much money we put in, you know. I mean, it just seems that they can find ways to piss it away.
Well, it has to be what we're about. What do we want to be? What do we want this network to be about? I think Dennis touched on it. You know, we have this opportunity to make this a great progressive voice. And do we want to give it up?
And there's so many issues to discuss. I mean,
for petty careerist purposes, just so, you know, a handful of people can feel secure in their corporate style jobs and salaries that, like, are so miserable compared to the corporate world. It's like a joke, even, you know.
Well, I know that. But, of course, you know, to say, well, I'm in broadcasting, and so I'm comparable with anyone else that's on the zillions of of TV outlets, cable outlets, or whatever, you know, trying to compete on that level. I mean, the beauty of BAI was that it didn't seem to want to compete on that level.
Right, that's what everybody tells.
It cut out its own.
Yeah, and I could go, you know, I've been there in a lot of other media outlets that I am involved with or have been involved with were the same thing. You know, it's amazing to see how it repeats itself.
The theme is the same.
The theme, you know, and it always fails. They always seem to think that a progressive voice can never make money, and I think they just never give it a try. They never really see the potential and the possibility.
Well, it's that fear thing making people very conservative.
That we can. We'll kick butt, you know. We can make more money with a progressive voice than selling, you know, naked models, you know. I believe it.
I agree, yeah.
Well, I guess that's true, particularly, I mean, I worry, though, that the people at large are so asleep, you know, as
a feet?
A feet or asleep?
A feet intellectual.
No, asleep, you know, snoring. Snoring, because there's a lot of stuff that seriously worries me. I mean, you know, the invasive quality of surveillance and you know, people shopping on the internet and so on. You know, everything that you do is cataloged and categorized.
How about DNA testing, privacy?
Why should we even worry if they send 2,000 voicemails to be? You know, they can listen to. They can listen to everything. That's
sad. I'd like to know more about that. They should really speak on that. All right. Thank you very much, caller.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Thank you so much. And 212-228.
No.
Jeez. 212-209-2800. 2900.
Call us up.
You're on the radio.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi. Yeah.
Hi. Hello?
Yeah,
hi.
Go ahead.
You're here.
Yeah. I want to try to get to something that may not be as conspiratorial.
Okay.
But fairly serious, because, yeah, I've been sort of related to alternate media. I've known some friends of mine, BAI, and places like that for years. And here's what's concerning me. There does seem to be, in many parts of the progressive movement or the present kind of left, the idea that if we're really going to get somewhere politically and stuff like that, we sort of got to clear out this edgy kind of 60s, 70s mood. We got to get more, quote, mature and more mainstream. And I'm wondering, because otherwise these things could be worked out, they could be ego clashes, is there a real heavy debate going on here? In other words, Mark Cooper, who's on BAI from Radio Nation, is half supporting the Chadwick position. Doesn't like the firing, but he's supporting it.
Mm-hmm.
And the real issue in my mind, is there a real serious attempt to radically change the tone of the Pacifica stations and make them relatively progressive, left-leaning, but much more mainstream?
Well, now we're getting into what Dennis, I guess, would call the area of speculation, which is
a
dangerous area. I mean, I think we should just let the question maybe give that question over to the listeners to see what they think.
I understand the dangers.
Because I see what you're saying, you know.
I mean, because I understand the dangers, what he says, speculating about facts, but there is a certain sense. Let's say this isn't happening. It's just a labor dispute. It's a personality clash. Let's say there, it's still serious and human, but in a certain way, it wouldn't be such an urgent matter. In other words, if there really wasn't an attempt to significantly mainstream the station, the dispute wouldn't be as burningly relevant.
Well, I guess
it would be serious. People would be hurt.
It's the firing of Nicole Sawaya is really what sparked it.
Yeah, but if there isn't something more deeply speaking, because I heard Chadwick at the BAI to get a speculation. I heard her at the Pacifica the day they had the celebration. And said, well, we have a new vision for the station. We want young audiences. We want a different kind of thing. Without even anything like that, I think people ought to inquire, what does that mean? What supposedly is their vision? What do the Pacifica board people mean? Why are they doing these things? Just as a simple question. They don't
I like to hear more detailed explanations.
They don't like
these.
The way she looks. They don't like Bensky neurotic. I mean, sometimes people give those, what does it mean that somebody isn't a good fit?
Right.
And I'm just saying, if there's an underlying, may not even be a conspiracy,